pray for all the volunteers. They will definitely need a lot of prayer. And we just are thankful, Lord, that we're thankful to them that they're willing to do this. And we're thanking the Lord and praising the Lord that they've answered his call. And I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for each person that's here this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you would minimize the distractions from our hearts and our minds and this place so that we can pay attention to what your word has to say for us today. I pray, Lord, that what we learn would be applied in our lives, and not only that, would bring glory to you throughout our days. And I'm just thankful again for each person that's here, thankful that I get to preach your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're continuing our summer series called There's a Psalm for That, dealing with our emotions. Today, we are going to deal with the emotion of anger. Now, the first thing we have to clarify is this. Having the emotion of anger is not sinful, but like any other emotion, how we respond in a situation or to people because of that emotion can be sinful. So from the first 11 verses of Psalm 37, we're not going to do the whole psalm, but from the first 11 verses of Psalm 37, we're going to learn how to deal with our anger and the way that God desires us to deal with it. So we're going to start with a question, and this you can answer to yourself in your head. What makes you angry? What makes you angry? Now, I believe there are two main areas we can categorize our anger in. And the first is unimportant areas, and the second are important areas. Okay, so let me just help you understand this a little better. Unimportant areas would be things like, I get angry when my internet is down. Okay, I get angry when someone leaves the dishes in the sink. I get angry when someone's driving too slow in the fast lane on the Garden State Parkway on my way to work. I get angry when someone does something unintentionally that negatively impacts me. So let me just tell you a little story. Going back to 2005, we're pregnant with our last child, our daughter Sila, and we had a Jeep Cherokee, like the cool boxy one that I like to drive, and we decided it's time to get a minivan. We have three kids. All the youth group kids made fun of me. They said, Mike, you're throwing in the towel. So we decided we're getting a minivan. So I did all the research. It was a Toyota Sienna or a Honda Odyssey. And we decided we're not going to buy a brand new one. We're going to buy one like 2 years old, a used one or a pre-owned one to get some money off. So we're looking and looking. These are so hard to find. So I zoned in on this one. I called the dealer. Turns out the dealer was like an hour away, but they had this minivan. But in order to get this minivan, we needed to go up there. I needed my wife with me because I needed a ride home, or we needed to take two cars home. So we got our in-laws. We're like, this is the van for us. We got our in-laws to come over right before bedtime and take the kids. We got it all ready. It was like kind of like a last minute thing. We got up there, we sat down, and the guy comes out and he brings out paperwork. And mind you, I'm looking for a Honda Odyssey minivan. And he comes out with the paperwork for a Honda Accord sedan. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? I said, Odyssey minivan. Okay, minivan. Three kids. So I'm, and he's like, I got something wrong. He goes in the back, comes back. He's like, we don't have any vehicles like that used. You could probably see the red line coming up my face. Can I interest you in a new minivan? I got up, and my wife can vouch for this. I could not even speak. That's how angry I was. And good thing I couldn't, because I would have said something that I would not have wanted to say. So I was so angry at this point of something that now I look back at as unimportant. But then, fast forward, we did get the minivan. The nice Toyota Sienna, because I wasn't getting a Honda now. got a nice Toyota Sienna minivan. 17 years we had that, raised all the kids. At 900 miles, we are at the church picnic at Gilly Park, and I strategically parked the van right on the end so nobody would open their doors into it, not calculating the fact that some kid was going to ride his bike right into the side of my minivan at 900 miles. So I never got that ding fixed. And every single day when I saw that minivan, it was like the Lord saying to me, for 2 decades, you will not have anything nice. You are raising children. You have thrown in the towel. So needless to say, those are some unimportant things to get angry about. And some of you are like, that's important, right? So these things and others can make us angry. And if you are an angry person, the list of unimportant things is very, very long. And most likely, you have convinced yourself, these things are important. I should be angry about these things. These things are important. So these areas have a high probability of ending up in sinful actions. And here is why. They are rooted in selfishness, and they are rooted in pride. Selfishness, because these things challenge our comfort. They take away our time. And because of that, we have to deal with whatever issue that it is we're dealing with. They're rooted in pride because we think we know better, we have a better way, we're doing things right, and other people are doing things wrong. So now some unimportant things happen, and we're selfish and prideful, and we explode. The internet's down, so I'm gonna call up the internet place and yell at them, right? Someone's driving too slow on the Garden State Parkway, so when I pass them, I'm telling them they're number one. Or I'm a little bit more mature, I'm gonna give them the dirty look, right? Someone does something unintentionally that negatively impacts me, and I seek some sort of way of getting them back. And they didn't even intend to do what they actually did. The bottom line is this: we act in sinful ways. So the connection is this: something unimportant tests a sinful pattern that we have in our lives, which could be selfishness or pride or some other type of sin. We get angry and we sin. Now, onto the important areas of things that I believe that the scriptures teach should actually make us angry as believers. The first is this: twisting the truth of the gospel message. Every week you come here and you hear the gospel message. We are sinners. Because of our sin, we are deserving of eternal separation from God in a place called hell. The scriptures teach that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to come, die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And the scriptures teach us this: all who believe will have eternal life. If people twist that message, you and I should be angry about it, because they are twisting the truth. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, 2 Peter 3 through 6, 3, verse 16, talk about this. We do not tolerate people twisting the truth about Jesus. Why? Because if Jesus is the only way to salvation, which we believe the scriptures teach, if somebody twists that truth, they're keeping them away from salvation. They're keeping them away from the truth. So you and I as Christians should be angry when people twist the truth of the gospel. And that's why each week here, you will hear the gospel, because we want to make sure that you know how much God loves you. The second thing you and I should be angry about is injustice. Most of you are pretty angry about injustice, but harming the helpless. Psalm 82, 3 through 4 talks about this. Harming the helpless, harming the innocent, injustice happening. You and I should be angry about that as Christians. I don't like to see that stuff going on in the world. I don't like to be like that to negatively affect me, but I don't like to see it negatively affect other people. And the third thing you and I should be angry about is willful disobedience. Colossians 3, 6 and Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 talk about this. When people willfully disobey what God has said, we should be angry about that. Christians should be angry about these things because God is angry about these things. It's actually called righteous anger. God is angry about these things going on. But now we come to this issue here. Since these things are going on in the world, and we should be angry about them, how do we follow this? What it says in Psalm 4 and repeated again in the New Testament in Ephesians: be angry and do not sin. How do we achieve this in our life? Be angry and do not sin. And then both of these verses go on to say this. Psalm 4 says, ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Ephesians 4 says, do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So now, here you are on your bed at the end of the day, lying in bed and pondering in your heart the things that you're angry about. Because that's kind of how anger works, right? We're angry, we lay down, we start to think, and we ponder in our heart how angry we are. Now you have a choice. Do I fuel my anger or do I calm my anger? Do I keep on ruminating? And we've all done this, right? We tell that person, I can't believe, you know what I mean? We literally talk ourselves up into an anger frenzy. And many times, those things end up in us doing something sinful. So I have a choice. Do I fuel my anger or do I calm my anger? Now in Psalm 37, which is a Psalm of David, we learn how to focus on what calms our anger. That's the goal. We want to learn how to focus in on what calms our anger. So the first way we can calm our anger is this. Don't concern yourselves with evildoers. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Fret not, meaning don't be overly concerned, worrying, anxious about. Derek Kinder in his commentary on this psalm says the Hebrew here can actually mean don't get heated. Okay? Don't get heated. Fret not. Here is what happens when we are angry. We worry, we're anxious, we concern ourselves with people that are making us angry. We start to get really involved in our heads with these people that are making us angry, whether we know them or don't know them. In the case of things that we should be angry about, like twisting the gospel, like being unjust, like willful disobedience, David is reminding us, these people will fade. They will not be doing this forever. God, in his justice, will put them to an end. Do you realize that? On the other hand, sometimes when people are doing the wrong thing and are getting away with it, we actually are not angry about it. We actually start to think, if they're doing that and getting away with it, maybe I should do that too. It's kind of like a when in Rome type theology. We start to think, everybody's doing that. Everybody's doing that. No one cares or nothing's happening to them. So maybe I should befriend them, like this passage says, and find out how they're getting away. This is why David says, don't envy them. Don't look at them and say, I'm going to be like them. It's no use being like me. They're ahead of the game. They're getting what they want. They're advancing. What David is saying, no. They're going to fade away. If you're overly concerned and spend too much time thinking about them and what they did, you will stay in anger, which will not be good for you. And you may even act sinfully in that anger. Next, we calm our anger by this. Focusing on the Lord. Our focus on the Lord is really seen in four ways in these next verses. The first is this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. So we keep focus on the Lord by trusting in him and doing good. This applies to struggling with what to do with our anger. You see, normally when we're angry, we're tempted to sin. Normally when we're angry, we're tempted to sin. Trust that God will take care of the situation and look for opportunities to do good despite how angry you are. So now, let me just paint a picture for you. You're thinking, how do I respond to this? I'm mad about it, and I either want to get this person back or I want to do something in retaliation. What David is saying is, listen, trust God and think of something good to do. Think of something good to do. You might have been thinking, I'm going to retaliate. No, think of something. How am I going to do something good here? Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness is a reminder to stay rooted in the faith that you have in Jesus. Remain faithful to him. See, when we lash out in sinful ways because anger gets the best of us, we're not being faithful to Jesus. We're staying rooted in the way that he desires us to live. You get that? It's an effect of your relationship with Jesus. When you take your anger out, when you sin, that's why he says, be angry, but do not sin. Now, next, the way we keep our focus on the Lord is this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. take pleasure in the Lord. Who he is, what he's done, how he works in your life. He knows your heart and the fact that you probably do not want to be angry. He knows you're not going to feel good about doing something sinful because of your anger. Focus on the good things about God and don't focus on how angry you are and how you want to make someone pay or take revenge or how they need to learn a lesson from you. Delight yourself in him. You're spending too much time thinking about them and not enough time thinking about him. To do this takes our next way that we focus on the Lord, and that is this: commit. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You know, committing to following what the Lord wants you to do in a situation that is causing you anger. Committing to following what the Lord wants you to do in a situation when you're being caused to anger. Relying on him. He's going to act. You know, maybe you feel upset. And I don't want to minimize where your anger is coming from because you're angry about it, right? Maybe you feel upset. Maybe you feel misrepresented. Maybe you feel slandered. And you're rightfully angry. There's injustice coming your way. Know this, God will act. That's what it says. He will act. If you are really innocent in this situation, guess what? He's going to shed light on that and clear your name. We can rest easy when we do the right thing. You realize that? If you're doing the right thing, somebody's doing the wrong thing against you, you don't need to lash out in anger against them. You just need to rest easy and know, you know what? God's got this. He's going to act. Actually, in Romans 13:3, it gives us a human example when it comes to the authorities and says this: for rulers are not a terror to good conduct. They're a terror to people who are doing the wrong thing, but not to people that are doing the right thing. If someone's sinning against you and that's making you angry, not retaliating is a way that you can be a light to them and to other people. It's a way that you can be a light to that person. I'm angry with this person because they did this to me. I want to be a light to them. I don't want to be to them like they are to me. But not only that, there's always people watching. There's always people watching. People seeing. Maybe you're at work and you know your coworkers know you're a Christian. And something happens that most normal people would be very angry about. But not only that, maybe even most normal people would be patting you on the back if you did something in retaliation. You don't want to be a wimpy person. You don't want to be too meek. You don't want to be like that. You want to be the person that stands up and tells them how it is. Maybe in that situation, that would be the exact wrong thing for your testimony. So commit to the Lord's ways. We know what his ways are. They're told to us in his word. And his ways are always the right ways. So if you're in a situation, you need to go to his word for guidance to find out what to do in this situation. The hard part with anger is this. It comes on quick and strong, right? And we respond quick. So getting ourselves to the point where, you know what, when something like this happens, I'm not going to do that. That's not who I am. That's not the light that I want to give out. That's not the light that I want to snuff. We also keep our focus on the Lord by this: being still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still and wait patiently for God to do what needs to be done with what you are angry about. Now, I'm going to bring this back to the things that we should be angry about: twisting the gospel, injustice, willful disobedience. In any of these things, if any of these things are coming your way and there's not much or anything that you can do about it, because sometimes we see these things going on and there's just not much we can do about it. If anything, be still and wait. Be still and wait on the Lord. He will either give you guidance in what he wants you to do to take care of the situation, or he's going to intervene in some way. Maybe it's going to have nothing to do with you. He's just going to take care of it. But you got to be still. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently. Being still and waiting on the Lord gives us time to do a few things. Gives us time to trust him a little bit better. Gives us time to delight in him. and it gives us time to commit to him. Here's what acting out in anger does. It steals our time because we're reacting to what happened. And in most cases, it actually causes more trouble and conflict, which steals more time. You ever had that happen? Oh, I'm going to react like this. And you're like, oh boy, I just caused a lot more problems by telling them what I thought they needed to hear, by being mean to them, by retaliating against them. Now next, in order to calm, remember we're trying to calm our anger, not fuel our anger. In order to calm our anger, we need to apply self-control. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Again, fret not, don't get heated. Don't get heated over what wicked people that do, even if they're prospering when they carry out those evil plans. Refrain from anger. Forsake the wrath that maybe you want to take. Basically, David is counseling us. So if you need some anger management counsel, here's where it comes, okay? David is counseling you. You need some self-control. Now, have you ever lost control in your anger? How'd you feel about it? You probably didn't feel that great. I would venture to say you probably felt pretty bad, and maybe you've even been embarrassed by how you've acted. But on the other hand, if you didn't, you probably dug your heels in and tried to justify your outburst of anger and, of course, blame it on someone else. I wouldn't have done that, but you did this to me. And some of you are like, I feel like this is, do you listen to my house? Like, are you on my Ring camera? Here's the thing. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 reminds us one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is something called self-control, meaning this. It's what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. The Spirit and the flesh kind of wage war against each other. Our flesh says, make them pay. Our flesh says, you need to say that. Our flesh says, they don't deserve you to be nice to them. Our flesh says all those things. But the Spirit says, no. You need to be controlled. You need to be a representative of who Christ is. If we do not allow the Spirit to do what needs to be done, we're not applying self-control, that we actually have that self-control in him. Okay? We're not applying something that he's already given us. It's there for the taking. So if we don't apply self-control, the next verse tells us actually what happens. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil, for the evildoer shall be cut off. If you give in and act on your anger, it tends to do evil. It doesn't really work out. You might think in your angry mind this is going to work. It's not. It's just not going to work. And you can't even think clearly when you're so heated, right? That's why I said when I was in that situation, I didn't even know what to say because the Spirit and the flesh were kind of warring. And like the Spirit was like, don't say it, Mike, don't say it, Mike, don't say it. But the flesh was like, this guy needs to hear this. So he doesn't do it to anybody else. That's why. I'm a righteous person, right? But God was like, nope. Shut the mouth, Mike. We end up doing things we don't want to do, we didn't mean to do, or wouldn't normally do. The result is there's consequences. Now, the evildoers spoken here in this psalm are probably unbelievers or cut off from God. Okay, we know as believers, we cannot be cut off from God because we're secure in his love when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. But the sentiment is this for us today. When we lash out in sinful ways due to our anger, God is not pleased with us. We ruin our testimony and will likely suffer some consequences. We won't come out unscathed. We won't. I'm just telling you that. We won't come out unscathed. We'll do one of those three things. But the next way we calm our anger is this. We wait. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. This weight is a little bit different than the be still and wait, okay? This weight is this. Just wait. Just wait. And here's why I believe that. It says, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. Just wait. God's going to take care of things. Okay, God, like when, especially the things that are important, right? Twisting the truth of the gospel, willing disobedience, injustice. God is not going to be mocked. God is not going to be mocked. I mean, I reference this all the time. We study through Revelation. When we look at the tribulation period, do you realize that's God's wrath? He's saying, you know what? Got a clean house because wicked people are having their way. So just wait. God will take care of it, meaning they will get the justice they deserve for the wrongs that they have done. But know this, because we have a loving God, they will get the justice they deserve, or they will trust in Jesus, and he will give them the grace and the mercy that we've all received that we did not deserve, but he was willing to do that for us. Isn't that amazing that we have a God like that? Who can be so angry with sin, but so gracious and loving that he's actually willing to allow his son to pay the price for us. And the final thing to calm our anger is this. Be quiet and gentle, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Meek is quiet and gentle. There's a reward for those that maintain their cool, that don't lash out in anger. In this case, David's talking about entering the promised land, which signifies God's physical and spiritual blessings. For us today, we receive blessing from God when we follow God, and the main reward is peace. So we feel a blessing from God, and the main reward to that is peace. When we are angry, we lack peace. We lack inner peace because the anger disrupts that peace. We lack peace with others because we lash out in that anger. Because issues will arise when we lash out like that. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 through 12 says this, Paul says this, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more and to aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. You know what? We can curb much of our anger if we mind our own business. Now, let me help you with this. Most of the time when somebody says the phrase, mind your own business, it's someone saying, stay out of my business. But the way I want to take it is this. But I think when it comes to anger, we may want to look at it this way. If I'm dealing with anger, I have business in my spiritual life to take care of. I got to mind that. I got to pay attention to that. I need to be quiet in situations that I normally would be loud. I need to be gentle in situations that I would normally be harsh. I got to mind my business. I got to make sure that I'm a good representative of who Christ is. Now, as believers dealing with the emotion of anger, in order to calm that anger, we need to remember not to concern ourselves with the evildoers. Don't overthink that. Focus on the Lord. Apply self-control. Wait on the Lord and be quiet and gentle. Now, we're going to observe communion this morning. When Jesus got together with his disciples, this is so important for us as believers. Communion is for believers to first remember. Jesus sat with his disciples and said, do this in remembrance of me. And he explained to them, his body's going to be given up, his blood's going to be shed. Remember what I've done. Jesus didn't say to them, remember how I was unjustly arrested and taken away. Remember how I was beaten and nailed to a cross. Remember those Romans and those Jewish people that delivered me up, the Romans that killed me. You should be angry about that for the rest of your life. It's not what he said. He said, remember what I did for you. come together and remember that. So for you and I as believers, we do this each Sunday. We come and remember that Jesus paid the price for our sins. His body was given up, his blood was shed, so that you and I can be delivered, can be saved, can be born again. Isn't it so great that we have a God that is willing to do that? The second thing is this. Obviously, we talked about anger here. Do you have business you need to take care of, that you need to mind to? Do you need to actually focus in? Maybe you're a very angry person, and you know it because your family members, your friends, people have pointed it out, and you keep on saying, I'm not angry, right? But you know what's going on. Maybe you're mature enough to not let it come out that much, but it's going on. Maybe that's something you need to lay at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to help you. To be angry, but do not sin. Don't sin in my thought life. Don't sin in my actions. But maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, communion is the time for you to get before the Lord. So I'm going to give you a few moments of silence, and then we're going to partake together.